We are on the top of Chaf Dalad Amud Beis. So we're talking about the contradiction between Rabbi Yehuda and the Rabbanan and themselves. And we're talking about this question of was Rabbi Yehuda concerned about Gomlin? Right, was Rabbi Yehuda concerned about Gomlin? These people who are gonna, you know, you scratch my back and I'll scratch yours, basically. And then if these people get, you know, if you have two people testifying about each other, it's gonna be a problem. So we quoted another Mishnah, which seems to say that you think there Rabbi Yehuda's worthy of Gomlin Rabbanan or not? But we have an opposite Mishnah, which was talking about this case of people who. Selling their wares and coming into the town, etc. So what are we going to do? So basically, this had two options. One was, you know, just flip the names, and really everyone's fine. And then we said, no, maybe what's going on here is that we're talking about the theory about the Rabbanan. So we said, what would you explain? That really the Rabbanan it's not a kasha on themselves. Then don't worry about the differences in the two cases. But rather, one of the cases is that they're carrying the reason that we are concerned that maybe the Rabbanan are concerned in the case the guys show up to town selling their wares and that they say, you know, his are good, mine are no good, you know, whatever. That why they're concerned, because in that case is kli umnuso biyado, that the guy seems to be claiming that, you know, buy his wares because mine are no good. The implication being that he's going to be putting his stuff in the warehouse, and what's actually happening is he's carrying his kalim that he uses to sell. Right, he's selling his measuring things, whatever. So that there's something unique in that case that's like bizarre, and that's what made me think something funny, like some funny business is going on with this guy, and that's the reason why we are bothered in that case. In which case, there's no steer between the Rabbanan in the two cases. It's just that in this case, the reason why they're more concerned that there's a trickery here, that the guys are gomlin, that they're working for each other, is because kli umnu sobiado. Fine. So that gets us to the top of Chaf Dalad Amud Beis. And Gemara now quotes a case, right? Veheichad itmar Rabbi Chama bar Ukva. Where do we have this idea? Rabbi Chama bar Ukva talked about this idea of kli umnu sobiado. Where does that come from? The following case, Ahadisnan, the following Mishnah. Hakedar. You have a potter who brings his. He has a bunch of pots that he's made in his pottery, and he goes to drink mayiminayor. He goes to drink water from a river or something. And the question is going to be, what's the status of his pots? Because he left them by themselves. Now he's nervous that someone came and touched them, and now they became tameim. So apnimios tahoros vachitzonos tameos. So the Mishnah says that the inner ones, he has a whole bunch of them sitting together, the ones that are on the inside of the group are tahoros, the ones that are on the outside are tameos. And the question was, Va'atani, we have a brace that says, Eilu ve'elu tameos. But a brace that says that no, they're all tameos. So what's going on? So Amr, Bicham Ra'okva, Bishikli Umnos, Umnuso Biyado. Right? So I'll tell you, you know, what's going on is, what's the reason why we treat these pots we treat them as if they're tomatoes. Why is that? Because it's clear to us by watching him that he's out to sell them. And since he's out, he has his selling things with him. Oh, so he's really selling them. Oh, he's selling them. What does that mean? So now, what does that mean? Look at Rashi. Rashi says, b'shikli umnus obiyado. Right, Rashi says 1, 2, 3, 4 lines down in the skinny lines. Leheker shehu no son lemachar, and it's a way of letting us know that he's taking them to sell them. He's taking them to sell them. Why does it make a difference? It means everyone's going to touch them, right? Things that are for sale typically people pick them up and they hold them, etc. So once they're for sale, so now we know that everyone's talking to them. Sorry, Rashi, the Gemara itself explains it. Amrecham Rabbah b'shikli umno sobiyado mipnei shiyad hakol mishamesh es biyaban. Right, everyone's touching them. Right, and that's when we treat them all tameos. Right, okay. Va'atani ve'elu tahoros. Right, but I thought there's another price that says that all of them are tahor. I'm mecham bar ukva b'she'in kliyum nusaviyada. That's the case when he's not carrying his selling utensils, and that's why we assume no one's touching them. Okay, Okay, so that's fine for the all tahor and the all tameh, but what about the Mishnah said? Mishnah said that the inside ones are tahoros and the outside ones are tameos. When's that? So answers the Gemara, the smicha l'rishus harabim. What happens? It's a scenario where they were placed down right next to the thoroughfare. The Rishus Rabbim, we just mean the place where people walk through, doesn't mean like halachically Rishus Rabbim, like 600,000 people pass this area. But the bottom line is, it's a place that people pass back and forth. Look at Rashi. Rashi says, "Mushim chifufei rishus harabim, shenosim bnei adam avanim gedolos oyosedos letzidei rishus rabim." People would put up some type of like marker. No, we have like, you know, sorry, in most places we have like sidewalks. You know, where like it's obvious where the street is and where the walking area is, right? So they would do the same thing. They would put down these certain markers on the sides of rishus rabim, like laharchi kaagolos milahazik esakasalim, right? To keep wagons from you know, bumping into the walls. So they would put things in the middle, you know, along the sides to make sure that they wouldn't get damaged. Right? And it's like, makes the area narrow. And he places his stuff right there. So what happens? Like people are walking by and their clothing rubs on them and they walk over it, etc. So I mean, the ones that are closest to the outside here are the ones that people walk by, Amaretz walk by, and so we assume that they become tamei. Fine. So that's like a little side conversation to talk about this idea of kli umnos, kli umnusa biyada. Fine. Okay, if you buy say, man, if you'd like, says the Gemara, I'll give you another answer explanation. I'll give you another possibility. Another possibility is that Rabbi Yehuda and the Rabbanan are actually arguing about something else. And what is that? The question of, do we say the fact that a Kohen can eat Truma, that teaches me that we can trust them in terms of Yichus. And depending on that understanding, that would explain the machlokes between them. Just by the way, we had this question last time, all the way back on Monday, about the question of yuchsin, right? Why are we like, you know, understanding where the Kohen can get married? Like anyone can get married. So there's actually, I took a little more look in that Tosfos Kiddushin, and in the Gemara Kiddushin that Tosfos quotes, and that basically there's always a concept in general that anytime a person gets married, there's a Mishnah Kiddushin that basically says that anytime a person gets married, you have to check their mothers and their mothers' mothers, and you check out all the grandmothers to make sure everybody's Jewish, basically, and I think when we spoke about it the other day, maybe I don't know, I think you mentioned it, that maybe this doesn't mean Kohen specifically, but it means any Yichus, and it's related to that in general, that there's a general concept of knowing that a person has, you know, lineage that is not, no one's a mamzer, no one's a convert that we didn't know about, no one's not Jewish, whatever, and that's presumably what this is talking about. That yuchzin is still a concept that, you know, how do we do it? We do it today. We even do it today. You know, if you're Masada Kedushin, typically you ask questions about the family background to make sure you know where everybody is and where they came from, etc. So, you know, similarly, they would ask these questions, and this presumably yuchzin in this case is pure lineage. It's not like some like elite like, you know. Type of question. It's a question of knowing the person's Jewish, you know, in order to get married. Fine. Okay. Fine. So we're asking a different question now. Yibayalu. Mo lahalos mishtaros liyuchasin. So back to these questions about the Kohen, right? So what happens if a person signed his name in a shtar? Can we say that they send a name in a shtar, XYZ, HaKohen, right? They said their name HaKohen. Does that tell me now that we can say, oh, so he must be, he's a Jewish person. He's signing his name as a Kohen. He must be, he's really a Kohen. And we can assume that Yichus is good. So Gemara says, hey, chedami. Well, what's the case? Ile madich siv be ani ploni Kohen chasamti aid. Right, if you want to say, the guy wrote his name, right? So, you know, ani Aaron ben Yitzchak HaKohen aid, right? So man kamasadi, love it. No one's giving a testimony about him. He just wrote his name, right? So he wrote his name, but so what? So he wrote his name. He can lie about his name if he wants, right? And write the word HaKohen at the end. That's, you know, that's his choice. That doesn't teach me anything. So that can't be the case. So lo tricha dichsiv be ani ploni Kohen levisi mana mi ploni v'chasi musade. Right? No. So what happened? The case is the guy says, you know, me Joseph Kohen, I you know HaKohen, right? And I borrowed money from, you know, from ex, you know, from Reuven, and two people signed their names in the bottom. Right? seemingly giving credence to the fact that my name is Joseph HaKohen, right? So that maybe that should teach me that the guy's a Kohen, and again should have ramifications for Yichus. So Gemara says, so that's the case. And what's the halacha? So what's the question? Amana shebeshtar kamasadei. Right, we had this language before. Right? Do we say the person is just giving testimony on, you know, what's written in the shtar? Right? Odilma akula milsa kamasadei. I mean, you might say, what do you mean? I'm not giving testimony he's a coin or not. I don't know. Whoever this guy is, I'm giving testimony that he borrowed $100. Right? Or do you say no? Akula milsa kamasadei. I'm not signing my name to something that's not true. And this guy says his name is Joseph HaKohen, and I don't know that he's a Kohen, so I'm not going to say my name unless I know for sure that really is a Kohen.
Because otherwise you're establishing that not only is the money legitimate,
I'm establishing his status as a Kohen, exactly. So, you could make the argument that when someone says, can you sign this document? You know, here, I'm lending, Reuven's lending me $100, can you please sign here? I'm like, all right, whatever. He's like, okay, what's your name? I'm Joseph HaKohen. Okay, Shukoya. I guess so. Right? I'm not giving testimony. I don't ask him, like, can you please tell me about your grandparents? Like, I'm not asking the question then. I'm just asking the money. You know, it's about the money.
It's like a notary. When a notary certifies your signature, after that, there's not much
right,
else to do.
Right, exactly. Right. So do you say that he's just, Amana Shabashtar Kamashade? Oh, Dilma Kula Milsa Kamashade. That's the question, right? So that's why we're not sure. Okay. Refun of Rav Chista, Charamar Malin. Vecharamar in Malin. So Refun of Rav Chista had a machalokas about this question. And one of them said, you do. And one of them said that you don't. Okay. Ibai is fine. So that's one question. Ibai, I'll ask you another question. Mo lahalos minisius kapayim lo yuchasin. How about the fact that the guy gets up and he duchens? Does that tell me that he's a purebred, whatever you want to call it, right? That we know that his yichas is good? The guy's standing up. He's duchening. He's not going to stand up and duchen if he's not really a Kohen, right? So tibai leman da amar mal mitruma lo yuchasin. Well, I could ask the question. I mean, we could try to understand it depending on what you believe about the other case, which was the question of, does the fact that a person eats truma, right? Does that determine that is that a way of, you know, reflecting that the yichus, you know? Or we had two opinions, right? One says that malim mitrum liyichus, and some say a malim mitrum liyichus. So depending according to which way you hold, that might explain to us how you hold about nisias kapayim. Why? To buy the mandav malin, right? If you want to say that, usually we say, look, a person who's eating truma, we can just, which you mentioned before, eating truma, if you're not Kohen, this is the raisa. You know, it's chayichi of misa. So you might argue, you know, according to the approach that said that if that malin mitruma liyuchzin, you might say the oven, honey, really the truma, the oven misahi, right? Avon asiyas kapayim, the isra say, lo, right? Meaning you might argue, yeah, malin mitruma liyuchzin, the guy's eating truma, so I assume he's really a, he's that he must really be a Kohen, and his grandfather must be a Kohen, etc. That might make sense because no one's gonna risk that Isser, right? And that's why in that case we can say that from Truma we can assume he's got Yichus. But it's just Kapayim, it's an Isser Asay, a person that gets up and they duchen, they're not supposed to. So okay, so we're not it's not the right thing to do, but people are not as afraid. And maybe that was why in that case we're not going to assume that just because he gets up to Duchen, then he must be a Kohen. Oh, dear, Malasha, or maybe no. Maybe the truth is, even getting up to Duchen is a big deal, and we're not so, people are not so lax in getting up to Duchen if they're not a Kohen. And therefore, and you think about it today, even like, can you imagine like the audacity of a person getting up to Duchen, like, to not a Kohen? Like, you can't even, like, even us, we can't, like, imagine such a thing. You're like, I was like, I could, you know. But like, you really wouldn't, right? So,
nowadays, we really.
We don't know. We don't. We don't know. We said the guy gets up and right, if you have time at the end, I'll tell you my story. I told you I had a story about Kohen, right? So that's why I switched us to Friday. I'm kidding. But you might argue, no. Even in that case, in Israel, it's a serious thing. So the fact that the person gets up to Duchen tells me that it's a pretty good indicator that they must have a Mesorah in their family that they are Kohen. Fine. So that's one possibility. But let's play it out. If you hold that by truma, right? Even by truma, it's not enough, right? So honey, really truma. So maybe why is it by truma? We don't say that truma. The fact again, if you say that guy eats truma, it's not proof that he's a Kohen, right? That he's good yichas. So you might maybe say honey, really truma. That's truma. The person eats truma privately, right? So they're not like displaying themselves out in public as a Kohen, and that's why by truma. ein malim mitshuma leyochasen, right? Ava nesias kapayim v'farhesia. Nesias kapayim would do yontif in front of hundreds of people, right? It's a very public thing to do. Who would get up? Ilav koinu kule hailo machzef inish nafshe, right? He would never get up and do such a thing if he wasn't really a kohen, right? Only so far people go to be such a, you know, chutzpah nyaks and to lie in public, right? They never saw politicians in this day and age, right? But fine. So odoma. So that's one possibility, right? You could argue according to that approach that maybe even by truma we say ein malin, but by nisayas kavai maybe I would, right? Odoma loshna, or maybe no. Maybe the truth is no. Just like if you don't trust truma, you really shouldn't trust nisayas kavai either. Okay, fine. That's just the back and forth what we would say, but we don't have a psak here. V'chistev Rabbi Avina, chad amar malin, v'chad amar ein malin. Again, Rav Chista and Rabbi Avina, they had machlokas whether malin or not malin in this case as well. Okay.
Although in theory, right, it should just move the argument or the analysis to, so we shouldn't be so cavalier on letting who gets up there to duch and who should be able to right. Because that's going to lead.
It's going to lead to this, right? Right. The fact that we have these possibilities, right, raises the question of, right, do you make someone prove something before they get up? So Amalei Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchak LeRava Ma'ol LaHalos Mesias Kabbalah LeYochasen. So Rav Nachman Yitzchak asks Rava, what's the halacha? Right, if the person gets up to Duchen, can I assume that he has good yichas? So Amalei plugged Rav Chisav Rav Avina, goes, what do you mean? It's a machlokas. Rav Chisav Rav Avina, you don't do Mara? It's a machlokas. We didn't have a psak. So Pirchas Amai, okay, he says, yeah, but what's the halacha? So Amalei Ana Masnisa Yadana. So he says, oh, no, I'll tell you a Mishnah that I know. Why the Tana? The Tanya, Rabbi Yossi Omer, Gedola Chazaka. So Rabbi Yossi said, Chazaka is very strong. How do I know Chazaka is very strong? And he quotes this whole pasuk from the story in Ezra. This is the story in Ezra when they were coming back to the second base of Mikdash, and you know there was, you know, lots of intermarriage and all kinds of stuff going on, and trying to figure out who is who. So the pasuk says as follows: Bnei Akohanim, Bnei Chaviya, Ben Hakotz, Bnei Barzilai, Asher Lokach Mibnos Barzilai Hagiladi. He's called Bnei Barzilai because he married Barzilai's daughters. Isha Vayikra Al Shemam Eila Bikshu Ksavam Hamisyachashim. Right, they tried to find their documentation, right, of their yichus, the documentation that said that they were, you know, I'm a Kohen because my father was a Kohen, his father, and it had a list people used to keep. A safe Rav Yichus to know who their relatives. They could show it to people. They couldn't find it. And they were kicked out of being Kohanim. Right? They wanted to come. This is the second base of Midrash. They wanted to come now to serve in the base of Midrash. And they couldn't find their documents that proved that they were Kohanim. And they were kicked out. Vayomer, his rashta lahem, ashala yochlu mikodesh hakadoshim, adamod kohen le'uvim v'tumim. They basically said that you can't eat kodesh hakadoshim until the Kohen has Urim V'Tumim. Why are you saying until the Kohen has Urim V'Tumim? Because in the second base of Midrash, they didn't have Urim V'Tumim. Right? So until it's Urim V'Tumim, it means until Mashiach comes. Right? It means that when the Yahweh comes, and we'll find out the answer. We'll ask the Urim V'Tumim, who's a Kohen? But until then, you guys, sorry, you can't serve in the base of Midrash. So Am Lehem, Hari Atem Mechazkaschem. But nevertheless, he said to them, you can still remain in your Chazaka. What does that mean? Meaning, the point of this brisa was to say how strong Chazaka is, right? Because even though they didn't have their yichus documents, still he said to them, look, you can't serve the Beis HaMikdash, but you can still keep your, meaning they had no Chazaka for serving the Beis HaMikdash. Why? There wasn't one, right? There's no Chazaka that they did the Avodah, mm-hmm. Right? This is at least 70-something years, right, since anyone in their family had served, done the Avodah. So, but he says, nevertheless, you get to maintain your Chazaka. Why? But meha yisem ochlim begola. What did you eat when you were in Bava? What were you eating? Bekadshe agvul. Avkam bekadshe agvul. Meaning you ate truma. Okay, so you can keep eating truma. You're allowed to keep eating truma, right? So which is fascinating, right? They can be eating truma, but they're not going to serve the Beis Hamikdash, right? And if you think that someone who could do nesias kapayim could then maintain their yichus, right? Hani came in the parsi yadayu asalasukinu. Meaning, these guys, for sure, besides eating truma, if they're eating truma, what else were they doing? They were dochening and davening, right? And if malim minisias kafam liyuchasin, then these guys for sure would be in, right? So what do you see? So you see that they certainly were not, right? It must be that we were not malim minisias kafam liyuchasin. So answer not so fast. Shani hacha daria chetskayo. No, I'll tell you the difference here. The difference here is that they have something that's like problematic, right? Meaning, Until now, right, there's no Beis HaMikdash, so they're just continuing to do what they were doing at a Chazaka. Now the Beis HaMikdash arrives. Can you imagine? Base mission arrives. Okay, take out your documents. Like, prove it. You know? And they couldn't. Right? So everyone else has their documentation. And they don't have their documentation. So now we're really in trouble. Right? Once, until then, they had a chazakah. So fine. So, and maybe it would be even that if a guy was duchening, there'd be enough allowed to meet Truma or allowed him to get married, etc. But now that they show that they don't have their documents, right? So, okay, so we let him stay with eating Truma, fine. But I'm not going to say, well, you know, he duchened, so we should let him get married. No. We now have real holes in their story. Chazakah's powerful enough, they'll maintain what they were doing, but we're not going to allow them to get married. But don't bring a proof to here from the Nesias Kapayim to Yichus, because here's a situation where the Chazak itself was being, you know, attacked. And that's why maybe you don't have as much proof.
So we paskin on Chazakah? Is that...
Well, we allow you to maintain what you've been doing based
practical
on chazakah.
Yeah, application.
Yeah. Chazakah has all kinds of, yeah. Chazakah, this is a great example of the strength of chazakah, right? A strength of chazakah that creates this kind of like split,
yeah.
you know, split identity. But again, in these kind of unique scenarios, right? This is where the history is changing in front of your eyes, right? So in those moments, sometimes you have to make a call like that. But yeah, this is what, I mean, there's so many things that we do in halacha that are based on chazakah. We don't even think about it. But like, so the bottom line is, yeah, at the end of the day, it's a chazakah that allows them to keep doing what they were doing. And says the Gemara, if you don't say that, leman da amr malim mitruma lel yuchasin, kevin da achli mitruma, asal esukidum. And also, that must be true, right? Why? Because if you don't say that, then according to the man da amr, it says malim mitruma lel yuchasin, right? If you guys are eating truma, why don't they let him duchen? Right? Meaning, again, the same question. It's not just a skapayim to yuchasin. It's a truma to yuchasin also. The guy just said they're eating truma. And nevertheless, they're not letting them serve the Mesa Medash. Right? So, but you have to say, Allah mishum de reyachas kayu. So what must be that they ruin their chazakas. So we'll stop here, but I'll tell you the story for a second. There's a guy I know in a place where I used to live. Not in Tina. And, it's on the recording also. And he was a Baal Tshuva. And a wonderful guy. Just an amazing, wonderful guy. And he started becoming from, and he started coming to shul, and I think his background was like almost no. His background was very, very weak. I don't know what kind of background he had at all. And he started coming to shul, and they asked him like, and when you're in a place that's a lot fewer people, being a Kohen is a big deal. So they ask him, are you a Kohen? And he's like, yeah. Like, you remember, like, oh yeah, my dad told me once we're Kohen. So in the shul, I was like, Yamo, did I have Kohen? You know, it was like always a big deal. So he would get up and get a Kohen. And then, like, this is going on for months. And then one day, he comes to the shul, and they're like, Yamo. And he's like, like, what? He goes, so after shul, he says, I was talking to my dad on the phone. And I was like, yeah, it's great. I'm going to shul. It's amazing because I'm Kohanim. So, like, I always get the first Aliyah. It's like, great. And his dad's like, you know, Ploni. He's like, why? He's like, we are not Kohanim. He's like, what do you mean? Like, he's like, we're not Kohanim. You know, so he stopped. So he stopped getting
the
this guy. So the reason I bring up the story is because how was anyone in the shul supposed to know? The guy showed up and said he was a Kohen. Okay, the guy says it's a Kohen. He says it's a Kohen. Turns out he was wrong. So this was unique because he didn't have background. So he didn't know. You know, but it shows you like, you know, these, you know, the trust that we have that someone says they're Kohen is because they say it. And, you know, so, you know, that has a lot of power. So we should be careful. I know who we're talking about.